Good morning. I too extend my welcome to each and every one of you that are with us this morning. We are grateful for your attendance, especially glad to see Dick and Cheryl here with us. I asked him if he'd like to do the preaching for us today, and of course he said he'd rather listen today. So I try. As most of you know, Larry's out of town visiting family in Washington. Jerry is out of town also, and so I don't know whether it's a good thing or a bad thing for you, but you get me this morning, so we'll make the best of it. I pray that today's lesson will be informative, edifying, and beneficial for each and every one of us that are here today. In today's lesson, we are going to be looking at the word walk. We're going to be looking at our walk. We are going to look at what our walk should look like, how we are to walk as God's children, which in turn will show us how our walk should not be. As we look at the word walk, we commonly think of our physical walk in our daily lives. Like walking our dog on the boardwalk on the way to the park to play frisbee. Larry has a lot of good pictures, but I particularly like this one. Has anybody ever walked their dog this way? Very impressive, as a matter of fact. Or how about a walk on the beach with our family, friends, and loved ones, looking at the beauty of God's creation and being amazed at what an awesome God that we truly have. Or a walk in the forest, as Mark referred to a few weeks ago at the table, listening to the sounds of nature and the peace that we have therein. But as I'm sure most of you know, that's not the walk that we're going to be looking at today. We are going to be looking at our spiritual lives, our spiritual walk that we have in our God and our Father. As we look at the definition of the word walk, Vine's complete expository dictionary says it's the whole round or spectrum of activities of our daily lives or individual lives. It applies to the observance of religious ordinances as well as to our moral conduct. You know, God expects us to walk in a certain way. He has expected that walk of all mankind from the very beginning of creation. Out of all the nations, God had chosen Israel to be instructed in His law. As Bob read for us over in the Deuteronomy letters, chapter 5 and verses 32 and 33, they were told there to walk in all the ways which the Lord your God had commanded you. They were told to walk in His commandments. So it doesn't matter what century we are living in. It didn't matter whether it's the beginning of time, whether it's the first century, whether it's the 10th or the 21st century. And it doesn't matter what stage of life we happen to be in, whether we're a non-believer, whether we're a faltering believer, whether we're a babe in Christ, or whether we've been a faithful member for years upon years. God expects us to walk in His way, walk in His commandments, walk in Him. Paul, over in the Ephesian letter, chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, says there, "Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Paul was urging them. He says there, "I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling, which you have been called." Now, walking is a deliberate action. We are actively doing something when we are walking, and hopefully most of us, when we are walking, are moving forward. We're pressing forward. We're moving on to the goal that we have set. To walk in a manner worthy of our calling is to act a certain way by choice. It is to be active. It is not to be passive in any way. Paul didn't say to sit around, or to the Ephesians, to sit around and do nothing in a manner worthy your calling. He said walk in a manner worthy of the calling. Paul is exhorting the Ephesians to walk in a way that is worthy of the gospel of Christ. And brethren, that is also our calling. We are to walk worthy of that calling. John says something very similar over in 1 John, the first chapter, verse 5, and that'll be our first point today. We are supposed to walk in the light. 1 John 1 and verse 5, he says there, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins." And as we read also over in the Ephesian letter, in chapter 5 and verse 8, it says there, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." We either walk in the light or we walk in darkness. So we either walk with God or we walk without God, because God is light. There is no way that we can walk in darkness, walk in sin, and expect to have fellowship with God. We cannot go around saying that we are doing what God wants us to do and then really not doing that at all. How can we think at that point that we are walking in the light or that we are walking with God? We do not have fellowship with him. It says there in verse 7 of 1 John, the first chapter. To walk in the light is to live in such a way that one is educated, one is edified, one is informed by the truth of who God is. And it is very simple, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. When our conduct as Christians reflect what God's moral character is, then we truly do have fellowship one with another. Our fellowship with God is depending on us walking in his light, walking in the light. We cannot walk or live in darkness. So like I said at the very beginning, it doesn't matter what century we are living in or what stage of life we are in. God expects us to walk in his way, walk in his commandments, walk in the light, because he is light. Another part of our walk is to live honestly in our daily lives. Turn over to the book of Romans with me, if you would. Romans, the 13th chapter, verse 12, beginning. It says there, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand." Everybody knows what at hand is. It's imminent. It's going to happen. It's at hand. So he says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in licentiousness and lewdness, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." Verse 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We as believers should clothe ourselves. We should put on. We should cover ourselves with Christ-like activity, our characteristics and attributes and personalities, such as truth. John 14, verse 6, Jesus says there, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." And if we are living honestly in our daily lives, just think about the peace that we have in knowing that. That Jesus is the way and the truth. Over in the Ephesian letter, the sixth chapter. Verse 10 beginning. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded up your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We should put on the whole armor of God, the armor of light. Do not give time for the sins of the flesh. Walk as God would have us to walk. Walk in His commandments, keeping His commandments, by putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may be able to walk honestly in our daily lives. And that brings us to our next point. We need to walk in His commandments. We see that in 1 John, the second chapter, verses 3 and 4. Now by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. We can look at 2 John, the sixth chapter, and it says, this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment that, as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in them. Isn't Jesus also asked about the commandments? Isn't Jesus also asked what the greatest commandment is? So we turn over to the Matthew letter. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Begin at verse 35. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like that, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. We should walk in His commandments, keep His commandments. By doing that, we show, or we should love the Lord our God with all our hearts. And by doing that, then we also do what He wants us to do, and that is walk in love. Because God is love. In 1 John 4 and verse 8, it says there, The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And with that, we should be imitators of Him, of that love. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2 tells us there that therefore be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love, as Christ also has loved us in giving Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. So we as believers are to follow the example of God's actions, what He has done for us. He loved us when we were still His enemies. So being imitators of God, we should demonstrate that type of love. And what type of love did He show us? He showed us in John 3:16, and we all know what that says, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is by the grace of God that we have a hope of eternal life. So we need to walk in love. We should walk as Christ lived. So that brings us to the next point. We need to walk in Christ. Colossians 2 and verse 6 and 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Just as the Colossian believers were encouraged by Paul, we must also walk in Christ. Paul uses four words here to describe that walk. The first word that he uses is rooted. This talks about how we should be grounded, how we should be embedded, how we should be fixed in our walk with Christ. The next three words he uses are built up, established, and abounding. These words are used in the present tense, showing the continual growth in our everyday Christian walk with Christ. It's that walk, that moving forward, pressing on to the goal that we have. We should also walk in good works. Ephesians, the second chapter. Ephesians 2, beginning at verse 8. It says there, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." There should be no question at all, we should walk in good works. He has placed them there for us to walk. He has given us that example of how to walk. And finally, we should walk in the Spirit. Turn over to the Galatians letter. This is a little bit lengthier reading. Galatians, the fifth chapter, beginning at verse 16. We should walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Verse 16 beginning, it says there, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." So as you can see, walking in the Spirit means that our walk takes in every part of our individual life. What we do, what we say, and our moral conduct. We must walk in God's ordinances. We must walk in the light. We must walk in Him. We must walk in the light. We must walk honestly in our daily lives. Walk in His commandments. Walk in love. Walk in Christ. Walk in good works. Walk in the Spirit. One more verse over the Ephesian letter. Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 17, talks about the new man. Talks about the Christian walk. So Ephesians 4, verse 17, beginning, says there, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the fertility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their hearts, who, being past feelings, have given themselves over to licentiousness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness." We must put off the old man. The old man was crucified with Christ on the cross. We are not the same person that we were the day that we were converted. We became a new creature. We became a new man. We put off the old man, the slave to sin, and put on the new man. And we should be walking in God's ways. We should be walking in him, in his commandments, and in the light. The lesson is yours. Is this your walk today? Are you walking in all of these? Are you walking in the light? How about your daily life? Are you living honestly in it? Are you walking in it? Walking in his commandments, walking in love. Are you walking in Christ? Good works and walking in the Spirit. Have you put off the old man and put on the new man? Are you walking in the light? If you have not yet obeyed the gospel, today is as good a day as any for you to change your ways, for you to start that walk that God has expected of all mankind, to walk in the light, to walk in his commandments. If you are also a child of God, but you are not walking this walk, then today is also for you to be a good time to make that change, to change your life, to recommit yourself to walking the walk that God would want us to walk, walking in his commandments. So if we can help you in any way, we offer this invitation to you and extend